glad that God is still in the saving business.
Yes.
If you're not sure about that,
I want to encourage you this morning. He's still in the saving business. You're not saved, he'll save you today. Not only does he save, but he's mighty to save and he's mighty to keep. And so the writer said, it's well with my soul, not only because he was saved, but God is keeping him, and we're glad about that. That can be your experience today if you don't have it. If you do have that experience today, I want to encourage you to keep going on for the Lord. I'll tell you one thing. Enemy's been trying to discourage us this morning, trying to make us more aware of our deficiencies. But by the help of the Lord, we're going to serve and please God. If it kills us, may the Lord help us. I want it to be well with my soul, and I want to be a vessel unto honor. Feel like the Lord has given us something, the remainder of the vessel unto honor message. So this will be vessel unto honor part two. Don't want to do anything else without the Lord. Don't want to do anything with the Lord. And so we're asking you for your prayers that the enemy be rebuked, that the word of God go forth, and that it achieves its intended purpose. This morning, be praying for us is our request this morning. So vessel unto honor, we're going to go over first in brief. The first message that we had, again, be praying for us. A vessel is a container, a cask, a bottle, a vase, a cup, a bowl, something that is to contain something. It carries something. And so a vessel, one of the things that we went over early is that we are earthen vessels, meaning that God has made us. In Genesis 2 and 7, it talks about the Lord God breathing into, the dust of the ground and forming man, breathing into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we are living vessels. And so we are different than the cups and the plates and the glasses that we use because we can hinder God's will. Yes, God has made us, but we don't have to be a vessel to honor if we don't want to. We're encouraging each one to not only be a vessel, but be a vessel unto honor. Recognize that God made you. He made you with a specific purpose in mind. Lord, help us. And with that purpose, he made us to be a vessel unto honor. And so we talked about that. The fact that God made us, he made us with a specific will and purpose, and he wants to use us to his glory and to his honor. We also talked about he needs us to be willing to be cleansed, to be willing to allow him to fix our brokenness. If we have a vessel and it's broken, then it's not very good for use. If we have a vessel that is not clean, we need the Lord to help us and clean us by the grace and help of God. We don't want dirty. We don't want stuff, something, some water out of a dirty glass. And so the Lord wants to clean us. He wants to fix us. Whatever order he wants to do that in, sometimes he does that simultaneously, but he wants to allow us to be used by him. And when he uses us by the help and grace of God, he wants to use us when we have been cleansed. Cleansed from all unrighteousness. Cleansed from all self. Cleansed from our own ideas and thoughts. We need God to help us to do all of those things. So in the first vessel message, we talked about that. Also, and likewise, God is able to fix us. It doesn't matter what has happened to us. Many times when we have been in the world and we've been sinning, haven't been doing the will of God, it causes us to have breaks and hurts and things that we carry into our salvation. God wants to do something about those things. May the Lord help us. So he wants to clean us. He wants to fix us. And then once he's done those things, may the Lord help us. Believe it or not, he wants to use us. We're to the place in our where we're going to start talking about what God wants to do in vessel to honor number two. All right, so the Lord wants to pour into us. The first thing he wants to do Once we've been cleansed, we get salvation, and through salvation he begins to deal and to work with us, to clean us and to make us whole again, and then he begins to want to pour into us. Somebody turn with me to John 14 and verse number 16. I don't want to keep you too long this morning, but I do want to give what the Lord has given to me in a way that it be blessing and be a help to you. Again, be praying for us. The enemy's fighting us pretty hard this morning. John 14 and 16, what does it say? I'll pray the Father,
and he shall give you another
comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Read 17.
Even the Spirit of truth,
whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so there's something that is available through us that the Lord wants to give us. God wants to do all that clinging. He wants to do all that fixing for a reason and a purpose. He wants to put his Spirit in us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to be near and dear to us. This is Jesus talking here. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He said, I got to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll come unto you. And so he's going to send his Holy Spirit. And through salvation, there's a way that we can get that comforter, that Holy Spirit, to dwell in us, to teach us and to guide us and to lead us in all ways of truth. But he can't dwell in us if we're still not clean like we need to be. If he can't dwell in us, if we're broken and he's trying to be in us and it's seeping out, may the Lord help us. He wants to deal with us in such a way that he deals and lives and dwells in us, so that when someone comes to us and they're looking for something better than what they got, we're able to give them something not of ourselves, but something from God. May the Lord help us. God wants us to lift him up. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so what he wants to do is put his Spirit in us. There's a word, it's called sanctification. And what it means, I don't want to overcomplicate this thing. Once you have been saved, you're going to come to a place where you're going to see that you need more power. And so God has afforded a second work of grace to you and to me, to those that are saved. If you come to an altar prayer and you say, Lord, I need more of you. I'm willing to do what is necessary to, Lord, get this sanctification. I want to be holy and completely yours. And so, Lord, I'm willing, Lord, at an altar prayer, all that I know, all of me, it is now yours, Lord. I am no longer my own, but I am yours, and I'm completely yours. You can take me, and you can use me how you want to use me. This is why the enemy's fighting me this morning, and this is what the Lord wants you to know. You can have not only salvation, if you will, but you can receive sanctification at the altar of prayer. And this is what the enemy don't want you to hear. I just now figured that out. May the Lord help us. He doesn't want you to have that power, you see. He doesn't want you to have something in you that when somebody do you wrong, you give them a little Christ as they're going away. When somebody needs some counsel, needs some advice, you don't give them your own. You give them what God has given you, because that's what's in you. What's going to be poured out of you is what's in you. May the Lord help us this morning. And so God wants to live and dwell in us, so that when someone gets something from our vessel, it be of God. It be of a benefit. May the Lord help us this morning. Go to Acts with me. Acts of chapter 2. We're going to read the main verse will be verse number 4. But I want to read on down through 1 through 4. Remember that Jesus Christ said he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And we'll prove that in a little bit, but just stay with me. Acts 2, verse 1, on down through verse number 4. Remember, God, he saves us. He cleanses us. He fixes us. And then he begins to pour into us. This is an account that of the Pentecost. Read for us, please.
The day of Pentecost was fully come.
All right, day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting.
There appeared unto them
cloven tongues, like as of fire, sat upon each of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the key is verse number 4. Remember that he said he would send the Comforter. The reason why he was sending the Comforter, because he, Jesus, was going away. He knew that we would need something in us and through us to help us in this walk of life. And so he left, and then this is an account, and this ain't the main thrust of the message, but it is part of the message, because this is the first account that we know of that where he had sent the Holy Spirit. Folks had sought for the Holy Spirit. They were seeking after it, and God sent the Holy Spirit fire down upon them. And it was more than one person all at the same time. May the Lord help us. And so what we need is we need, if we're saved, that's good. And I'm not taking anything away from that. But we need to, by the help of the Lord, seek sanctification. All right. Now, in sanctification, just like anything else, when I come down to an altar of prayer, I may believe that I have laid it all on the altar. I've said the words, Lord, I lay myself before you. I'm laying all on the altar, Lord. And then we get up from the altar, and a week later, a month later, a year later, may the Lord help us. We find that we didn't lay it all on the altar. We laid what we knew about on the altar. We had an understanding of what we had an understanding of, but God shows us, he says, I need a deeper consecration, and so we do it again. We say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you too. I can't, Lord can't work in and through us when we have some things on hand that would hinder us, but we can't give to him what we don't know that we have, and so we give as much as possible that we can to him in spirit and in truth. Lord, this is what I know. This is what I have, and I'm giving it to you. But Lord, as you show me more, I'm willing to give this to you also and likewise. This is sanctification, and you can have it today. You don't have to worry about what you don't know. Give him what you do know and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to die for you. Every day you give me a day, this day is your day. What do you want me to do with this day? He'll do it for you. He'll help you. He'll work with you. And when you come to a place, the song says, I saw the death I had to die. The death in which my soul did cry, the frightening ways my heart did chill, but I got to yield. It's heaven's will. The song is entitled "Come Over into Canaan Land." Canaan in that song is representing a sanctified life. You're going from salvation to sanctification. And God is calling you. If you are not sanctified right now, if you have salvation, but you don't have sanctification, how can you do the will of God fully and completely if you don't have it? You got to get rid of what you have if you're going to get what God has for you. And then when somebody come and they get something, they'll get something from the Lord every single time. May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us this morning. Come over into Canaan land, where figs and grapes so plenteous grow, where milk and honey freely flow. Come over into the Canaan land. Sometimes when we have been saved for some time, the enemy hinders that child of God because they don't have the power that they need, and so they start having failures, and they begin to believe that God's word is not true. And so I'm exposing a truth. Sometime we need more power. And we'll have to ask the Lord, I need more of you, Lord, if I'm going to have this victory. And God can do it. But it's going to take us being willing to get rid of the rest of what is in our vessel, that carnal man. You know that we are to die daily.
Yes.
Self doesn't go away. Even in a sanctified life, self is still there.
Yes.
And we have to crucify the flesh.
Yes.
And its lust.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. God helps us to do these things. Then and only then can he pour into our vessel. And then and only then are we going to be able to pour out like the Lord wants us to. I have a few more points to make. May the Lord help us. Stand by and be with us. Pray for us. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. All right. Go to John 14 and 26. We will remember we were just in John 14 and 16. Now we will drop down 14, 26. What does it say?
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
All right. Who's talking there? Who's talking?
Jesus.
Jesus is talking. So Jesus is saying, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
Whom the Father will send.
Who the Father will send in my name. He'll teach you all things.
And bring things
to your remembrance.
Whatsoever
I have said unto you. Now, what we're talking about here is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, not only the infilling of the Holy Spirit, so he's cleansed us, he saved us, he made us, we understand that he has a will and purpose for us, he's pouring into us, and we really, really, really need to understand that we need to be taught how to do, what to do, when to do, how much to do it, when not to do it. Do you understand? Sometimes if you give something too much water, it'll die, even though water is good. Do you understand? You need the Holy Spirit to teach, to lead, and guide and direct. And so we've given our hearts to the Lord. He's cleansed us. He's fixing us. And he's making us ready for use. He's pouring into us. And now we need him for the W question. Who, Lord? Who needs your truth today? What, Lord? What do I need to give him from your word? How much, Lord, do I need to give him? How little do I need to give him? Do you know that sometimes people don't need a whole lot? They just need a little bit of what God has for you. But you have to be linked in with the Holy Spirit to even know about that. Because what we'll do is we'll believe that because we have the Holy Spirit, that everything we're doing is good, and we can be doing some harm. May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him, and he'll do what? Direct your path. Many a well-meaning child of God, and this is confusing, especially to those that are not saved or to those that are weak in the faith. Many a well-meaning child of God has gotten ahead of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that we're doing violence to them or to the Word of God, but this can happen. I have done it my own self. Lord, forgive me and help me to do better. You get ahead of the Holy Spirit. And you take out your gospel hammer and you begin to hammer away at a flower. May the Lord have mercy, and you kill that thing. You see? And so you come to church. You know that these people are good people. And you come in and somebody say something and do something that just hurts you deep, hurts you bad. And the devil come right on in, don't he? Throw the whole thing away. They're all bad. Matter of fact, God is bad. Everything is bad, is what he'll tell you. You see? And listen, that child of God, God's going to bring them to a place where they're going to know better how to work and deal. He's going to deal with them about that. Now, when God deal with us about those things, what do we do, Brother Tapp? Respond. Respond. If you get ahead of the Holy Spirit, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Lord, the last situation that I had that was similar to this, this is what you had me to do. So, Lord, I'm not going to wait on you to tell me what to do. I got it, Lord. I'll get it. Could that happen? could it not be what is needed for the moment? Do you know that people will tell you things, and what they're telling you is not what they're dealing with? Let me say that again. They'll come to you and say, this is my problem, and this is my problem, and this, and this, and this, and this, and the Lord will direct you right to the center of the problem. And that's what they need. Because problems have symptoms. You see? And you have spent 1 month, 1 year, 10 years working on the symptoms. The Holy Spirit will go right to the root of the problem and deal and work, and we'll have good success by the grace and help of God. So we need God to lead us and guide us and direct us. Even though we're saved, even though we have the Holy Spirit, we have to stay in a teachable mindset. We have to stay in a place where, Lord, what is your will? I think I know your will. I might know your will. But, Lord, if I'm not careful, I'll get ahead of you, Lord, and I can cause some harm. May the Lord help us. God has grace for us if we do that and we avail ourselves to his grace. And then God has grace. Do you know that God will go fix a problem and did you create it? I've had to go and ask the Lord to forgive me. And then I had to stay down there on my knees a little while longer and say, Lord, the damage that has been done, will you mitigate that? Will you comfort their heart? Would you help them to see I meant well, but I messed up. And Lord, I'm going to apologize. And I'm going to mean every word of it. And Lord, I'll do better going forward. How are you going to get to heaven? You don't do that. You got to do it. If you and I mess up, saved and sanctified, what to do? What to do? Bible says he giveth more grace to who? The humble. He said he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. I can justify it. I can close my eye and stand on one foot and look at it upside down and make it make sense. Or I can just say, Lord, I messed up. Please forgive me. And Lord, help me going forward. Help me with this apology. Help it, Lord, to have its desired effect, no matter what it looks like initially. And then comfort and heal and bless and work. I don't want to hurt nobody, Lord. May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us. So he wants to teach us. So he's going to pour into us. He's going to teach us. After he has done that, we have two more responsibilities. I'm about to say something I wasn't supposed to say again. Somebody go to me, James 4 and 10. Somebody else go to 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. We got two responsibilities, y'all. And this is never going to change. It's never going to change. So get used to it. Get comfortable with it. Accept it as the righteous and holy will of God. What's James 4 and 10 say?
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
All right.
And he shall lift you.
All right. I want you to not even worry about right now, the second half of that scripture. You only need to worry about getting lifted up. If he does it, he's going to be the one doing it anyway. So that's not that. His responsibility is on the second half of that scripture. You ain't got to worry about that part. What it means to humble yourself, what it means is, when you see and God deal with you and he says you're getting a little bit big headed, you're getting a little bit lifted up in pride. Yes. What it means is you seek humility. You do it. The Bible says that he'll humble you and you don't want that. So the way that you do it is you ask the Lord to help you to be humble. Lord, I'm going to seek humility before you got to humble me. That's the way you live your salvation. You want to live your salvation in the positive all the time. I'm so close to you, the devil couldn't get to me. Lord, I'm so close to you, Lord, that as soon as you start talking about something that I need to fix, Lord, I'm here, I'm ready to do it. Help me, Lord, to do it. That's the way you want to live your life. And put that on repeat. Because what's important to know, and we talked about it this morning in the Sunday school. I appreciate, again, the Sunday school. If you're not here and you're an adult and you're missing adult Sunday school, I want to encourage you, be here for Sunday school. There's a lot of good that's coming out of that by the help of the Lord. But what happens is, any type of success, even spiritual success, can get you up out of that place of humility that God wants you to be in. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. And so when we do that, then the vessel is of no use. Because now what's in the vessel? What's in that of self? So what's somebody going to get when they come to you? Don't get a whole bunch of self. Let me tell you, you got enough self for everybody. I got enough self for everybody. But don't nobody need it, and you don't need it either. May the Lord help us. You don't need self on hand that's going to hinder you from being what the Lord wants you to be. If your vessel is half filled with self, how much of God can get in there?
Not enough.
May the Lord help us. And so that self has got to go if God's going to be in there. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. He's going to hate the one and serve the other or cleave to the one. And you see what I'm saying? You can't do both. And self is something that you and I can serve. Did you know that? Remember the good brother came to Jesus, said, "Good master, rich young, good master, I'm nice as all outdoors. I do all you tell me to do. Been doing it, always do it." Just like that Pharisee. Remember that Pharisee and the publican? I'm all world, basically. So I don't even know what you're going to do for me, Lord, because I'm pretty much awesome anyway. That's how we can do. I'm talking about being saved and be like that. The Lord lay his hand on us and touch us and we do some good. And the enemy's right there. Lord sure did. He'll say it the right way. Lord sure did use you on that one. Now, who is being highlighted in that sentence? The Lord or you? The Lord used you, didn't he? It's not about the Lord, it's about you. You see? And the Lord did use you. He did bless you. He took the vessel off the shelf. Sometimes, do you know the Lord needs you on the shelf? Lord, help us. Went all the way to Monarch. It's hot and everything else. I said, "Surely, Lord, you one of these messages you go is going to be for me to preach. Surely, Lord, I need to preach a message. How are they going to make it without me preaching a message?" I'm being, you understand what I'm saying? I'm making a point.
Yes.
"Sit down, sir." That's what the Lord told me. I said, "You sure, Lord?" "Sit down." "Yes, sir." Sometimes the Lord needs you on the shelf and ready to go. You know why? Because it's not your turn. It's somebody else's turn. He wants to work with them. How are they going to get where they need to be and be what he... See, he's been working on them too. He wants them to be vessels unto honor too. And so if you always getting out in front and look at me, I'm here, Lord. You can use me, Lord. What about them? They got to grow and develop, and he's been working for that. So be ready, stay humble. And if he's saying, okay, come on. Sometimes it'll be like this. Let me get a little bit more specific just to give you an example. You'll see at church sometimes, it'll come time to preaching, and two people will get up at the same time. One of them is just being instant in season and out of season. The other one, the Lord is saying, get out there and do it. We are to stay ready, because sometimes the Lord say, get out there and do it, and we say, Lord, not right now. I don't want to do it for whatever reason. I'm scared, whatever. I don't want to do it, Lord. And the Lord in his love and mercy, he allows that to happen. He deals with us and works with us, but he already has a backup just in case. Okay? What we want is to be a vessel unto honor, meaning that I'm saved, I'm sanctified, the Lord is cleansing, he has cleansed me, he has fixed my brokenness, which I have to be a willing participant in, right? I can choose to stay in brokenness, or I can say, Lord, you said you got healing for me, I want your healing. Now, how can I get it? And you can literally pray a prayer like that, and the process will begin. Amen. So, we're in that position, and then now he's pouring into us because we're ready to do some things. But now, Lord, do you want me to sit? Do you want me to move? What do you want me to say? How much do you want me to say? How little do you want me to say? Well, is this the time? Is it even me, Lord? Is it someone else? These are all questions that the Lord wants us to have answered. And the way that we answer those questions is by walking in the Spirit and being that vessel unto honor like he wants us to be. Remember, this is his day. We are his. We would not be here. Brother Ty says this sometimes. We wouldn't even be here if he hadn't made the world. We wouldn't be here if he hadn't made us. That is a profound statement. You can't make it to tomorrow unless God will it that way. And so he's made you. He's made you for a specific reason and purpose. If you don't have salvation, you need salvation to even begin to get in these directions. But now we're talking about sanctification. We're talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And now we're talking how the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs. You know why you need a comforter with the Holy Spirit? Is it just for when somebody dies? What's it for? Lord, you told me to do it. And they told me where to go and how to get there. Matter of fact, they gave me more than one route. May the Lord help us. But Lord, I know you. You ever been there? If you haven't, you will. Lord, I know you told me to do this. I know this was your will. And I got up and preached, and it sounded like nobody even heard. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Need a comforter. He'll come and comfort your heart. He'll say, did you do what I told you to do?
Yes.
You did?
Right.
Well, then what are we talking about then?
Right. Amen.
Hey, man, what are we talking about? Amen. Do what I told you to do. I made you. I'm the one that was using you. It ain't about you no way. You just do what I told you to do and go right on by the help of the Lord. And so we have to stay humble. We have to stay in a place of humility. Says God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. So, what's that second scripture that I gave you? Was it 1 Corinthians 10 and 12? What does it say?
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
All right. Did you notice? A lot of times you have to really, as you read these scriptures, say, Lord, open them up to me some more. Because you can just read them and just be like, okay, I got it. He's standing. He's done some good things. And now he's in danger of falling. Did you notice that it says, thinketh he standeth. You see? Lord, if it ain't you that's propping me up in this deal, then I'm in a bad condition. You see? Stay low. Lord, help us to stay low. Lord, help. Pray for me. To stay low. Did you know I could be the worst preacher in the world and still have pride? Pride is, it don't matter what you're doing or not doing. It's just, pride is just pride. So we have to ask God to help us to get low and stay low. Because ultimately, we didn't make ourselves. The grace is, I'm only an earthen vessel. The graces within are not mine. For the love, the power, and the glory belong to the Savior divine. What's verse number 3 say? I'm only an earthen vessel. All excellence is of the Lord. Now listen to what it says. For alone I am without worth, and I'm empty, and nothing a prophet of floor. You can't even sell me. Don't you see what I'm saying? I'm worthless without God. And so the thing that I'm trying to highlight and nail down is, as the Lord blesses you and brings you to these places and keeps you in these places, ask the Lord to help you to get low and stay low. Remember that it's Him, it's not us. All right? And so the last thing I wanted to say is again, appreciating your time, your attention, your prayers for me. I want you to go to Psalms 34 and 1 and tell me what it says. There's a scripture also that talks about, I believe it was Brother Paul that was saying it. He says, I done preached to others and then I myself become a castaway. I got to be careful about that. Each and every one of us, help us, Lord. It says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There are so many scriptures about praising the Lord and thanking the Lord and blessing the Lord. As an earthen vessel, intending and putting our aspiration and effort into being pleasing and honoring unto God, what helps us is after He has used us and He has blessed us and has helped us to do the good that it is that He will help us to do, remember to praise Him. Remember to verbalize with your mouth. Lord, you've been good, you've been kind, you've been merciful. You've helped me through this situation. And Lord, I'll need you for the next situation. And so Lord, this prayer that I'm kneeling down to pray in, I have no request other than Lord, help me to continue to do your will. And I want to thank you and I want to praise you. I want to magnify and extol your righteous and holy name. I realize and recognize that without you, I can do nothing. And with you, I can do all things. And it's not about me, Lord. It's about you. May the Lord help us. Stand by and be with us. My goal and aim, as you well know, is to please God. I want to make heaven my home. I do not want to go alone. I believe that all of us can make it. And so I encourage you to do exactly that. It's what I'm going to do by the help of the Lord. You pray for me. I will be praying for you. Thank you.